We take our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics. The Senate Intelligence Committee has subpoenaed Donald Trump Jr., a move that got pushback from many Republicans. Senator Elizabeth Warren is turning down an invite to appear on a Fox News town hall, breaking with some of her fellow Democratic presidential hopefuls. And President Trump's use of tariffs in an ongoing trade dispute with China has advisors and lawmakers nervous about the potential political consequences. Our question for you this week, how do you feel about President Trump's handling of trade negotiations with China? Do you think taking a hard line, including tariffs, is going to lead to a trade agreement that's ultimately good for the United States? Have you felt the impact of the retaliatory tariffs coming from China or the European Union in your line of work? Is this something that could affect your vote in the presidential election? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Tolu Olurunipa is with us, White House reporter for The Washington Post. Tolu, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you?
Well, good. Let's start off with this trade dispute with China. Before we get to the politics of this, what are you seeing? What's some of the latest in the talks between the White House and China as they try to come to an agreement on trade?
Well, it definitely looks like the White House is preparing for what could be a long, protracted battle with the Chinese government over trade. They were close to a deal just a couple of weeks ago, but things fell apart, and we're not expected to see any movement towards a deal between now and the end of next month when President Trump is supposed to meet with Chinese President Xi as part of international gathering in Asia. So we could have several weeks of this back and forth between the Chinese government and the U.S. government, tariffs flying back and forth between the two countries with U.S. consumers and farmers and agriculture communities caught in the middle. It doesn't seem like we're anywhere closer to an agreement after a couple days of the president sort of talking a lot on Twitter about this trade war with China, saying that he's happy with where we are and that we're taking in a lot of money from tariffs. And some of his advisors and some of the Republican lawmakers have told him that tariffs are not a good idea and are not helping their constituents. But the president seems to be very firm in his thinking that he's going to ultimately prevail in the trade war.
Yeah, let's give a listen to President Trump after he put an additional $250 billion worth of Chinese imports under tariffs last week. He's talking about where that leaves us in negotiations.
This is a very positive step. I love the position we're in. There can be some retaliation, but it can't be very, very substantial by comparison. And out of the billions of dollars that we're taking in, a small portion of that will be going to our farmers.
President referring to some aid to soybean farmers and others. Now, as you said, not everyone in the Republican Party is quite as rosy about this. But are Republicans in Congress upset about this enough to take action to limit these tariffs?
The answer to that is not yet. We're hearing more public commentary. We're hearing more voiced concern from these Republican lawmakers, but not seeing anyone actually stepping up to take action to say, I'm going to rein in the president on this. They want to give the president some time to try to make a deal. They're going to make their voices heard to the White House and increasingly to the public, saying they're not comfortable with where things stand, but they don't want to publicly rein in the president by taking action or putting forward legislation that would restrict the president. So right now we're just hearing words of concern, but nothing yet that would stop the president from actually acting if this thing continues for several months and if more constituents sort of express their displeasure with the president, if Republican voters start to say that they're not happy with these tariffs and that they're starting to hurt in their pocketbooks, then you might see Republican lawmakers start to take action. But that's several weeks, if not months, down the road. And right now, it seems like the Republican lawmakers are still on the president's side. And even though they're not happy with the tariffs, they're not going to take any action to stop him from moving forward with the trade war.
And Tolu, is there a particular worry about among Republicans about states that President Trump narrowly won that have a lot of agriculture and manufacturing in them, like, say, Wisconsin, that this could be bad political news for them?
Yeah, people are telling the president not only is this bad for the economy, but this is bad for him politically. They're looking at 2020 and they're looking at specifically Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and other places, Iowa, that export a lot of goods and have a lot of trade and a lot of agriculture products that they need to be able to sell without, you know, having to pay extra money for tariffs. And they're telling the president that this could hurt him politically as he goes into 2020. And we're already starting to see a number of Democratic candidates say, you know, even though we agree with the president that China is not playing by the rules and that we need to get tough on China, the president doesn't seem to have a strategy, and he's hurting farmers and the agriculture community with his lack of a strategy. And this is becoming a political liability for the president, because even Democrats who agree with the president about getting tough on China are starting to attack him and say, you know, we need a much more strategic approach to taking on China, and one that does not hurt the farmers and the voters in specific states that are going to be very important in the 2020 presidential race.
It's our weekly roundup of national politics. Tolu Olorunipa is with us from the Washington Post. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thought on tariffs and trade. We'll go to a caller now. Steve is with us in Bloomington. Steve, hello.
Hey there.
Yeah, what do you think, Steve?
I work for John Deere Dubuque Construction Company. We do bulldozers, backhoes, skid steers, and I'm a lifelong Democrat, voted for Trump. As well as most of my family, including my father-in-law, who worked 37 years for General Motors in Janesville, Wisconsin. We are frightened, and this, I'm speaking for many of my coworkers as well, who also voted for Trump. We're frightened. What is this going to mean for us? We're having a boom here in Dubuque, Iowa, as far as hiring, and is this going to cost us our jobs? We have so much to lose. This is a big deal for us, and we voted for Trump in faith, and a lot of us are worried that maybe our faith was misplaced.
Steve, what are you worried about? Are you worried about your products that are being exported to China running dry? Are you worried about the inputs, the steel getting more expensive and hurting the business, or both ends?
The steel is a big deal. Absolutely. But some of us have a feeling, including myself, that we do a lot of business with Russia, China. We just built that multi-billion-dollar plant in South America. Is this going to cost us and thousands of us our jobs?
Steve, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate you sharing your personal perspective. Tolu, Steve seeing a potential nightmare here. And if a lot of people are thinking like Steve, Republicans seeing a potential nightmare if a lot of people are thinking along those lines.
Yeah, President Trump was able to win in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, in part because of voters like Steve, who had traditionally been Democrats but crossed party lines to vote for the president, specifically because they wanted to make sure that he would be able to bring back manufacturing jobs. They liked what he was saying about the economy, and they thought he would be able to actually fix some of the trade deals that have cost jobs in the Midwest. And right now, there's a lot of uncertainty. Not many voters that are saying, I am leaving President Trump behind because of this trade war, but a lot of questions about whether or not this was a good idea to vote for the president, whether or not he has their back, whether or not he's going to be able to work out a deal over the course of the next few months to make sure that jobs don't start fleeing from the U.S., that prices don't start increasing so much that it becomes harder for these manufacturers to do business in the U.S. There's a lot of uncertainty, and one thing that business and companies do not like is uncertainty. And right now, with President Trump's trade policy, there's a lot of that. Tariffs are on one day, they're off the next day, they're delayed, and then they're put back on. And the president has said that he might consider putting tariffs on all of the imports from China, including another $325 billion of products that right now are not being hit with tariffs. And if that were to happen, that would be a huge disruption to the business community, and it could lead to some of those types of job losses that Steve was worried about.
Thanks for the call, Steve. We'll go now to Dan in Fond du Lac. Dan, hi.
Yeah, hi, guys. Say, I'm a Wisconsin soybean grower here. As a matter of fact, I'm in the tractor right now working up my soybean acreage for this season, which I'm already committed to, but I don't know what is down the road for me and my fellow soybean farmers here. Even if soybean growers get any of this tariff money, I don't think it'll be enough, and I think that the market for American soybeans is probably going to be ruined going forward anyway, and I'm sure that China is probably already making contracts to buy soybeans out of South America. I'd have to say that the single most worst political vote I ever cast must have been here for Donald Trump, and I just don't think the rest of the Republicans are standing up to him. I don't think that he is thinking it's before he makes some of these decisions. It's shoot now, ask questions later. So, no, going forward, I cannot support Trump for another term.
Dan, thanks for the call. Again, another scary one for Wisconsin Republicans and national Republicans there. But Dan raises a concern, even if we come out of this with a deal, maybe by the time we do, Dan worries China starts buying soybeans from somewhere else and he's not back in business.
Yeah, that's a big concern. And even though the federal government and the president have said that they're going to provide some sort of aid to farmers that are hurt by this, that doesn't solve the problem of the long term. If China is striking new deals with Brazil and other alternatives and they figure that they can get soybeans and other products from other countries, it could hurt these farmers over the long term, even if a deal is struck at some point. And I think Dan is sort of the nightmare for the Trump campaign, someone who supported Trump in 2016, but right now has already made up their mind that because their own personal economic situation has become worse under this trade war, they are not going to vote with President Trump in 2020. And the Trump campaign is really worried about voters like this. There was a very slim margin for error in some of these states where President Trump won by less than 1%. And if they start losing some of these key voters, this could be a big challenge for Trump's reelection. And that's part of the reason the federal government is saying, you know, we're going to put in billions of dollars of federal taxpayer dollars to sort of help farmers to get them through this trade war, to tide them over, provide even more money than the $12 billion that was offered last year. But you're not necessarily hearing that that's enough from farmers. They want to, you know, sell their own goods, not get a handout from the government. And they want to be sure that even after the handout dries up, that they'll still have a market for their goods and they'll still be able to stay in business for the long term.
Tolu Olorunipa is with us, White House reporter at The Washington Post, for our weekly roundup of national news. We'll move on to some other issues for the remainder of the conversation. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Tolu Olorunipa, Washington Post White House reporter, about some of the week's top news in national politics. Tolu, you wrote recently that the president has been emboldened as of late to take more executive action that bypasses Congress, trade, which we've been talking about, one way he's been doing that, immigration, another. What has led the president to take a more go-it-alone approach than reaching out to Congress?
Well, over the last 6 months or so, the president has had to deal with the fact that one house of Congress is led by Democrats, and for the most part, they are not on board with his agenda. And even though he campaigned on saying that I can get Democrats and Republicans in a room and work out a deal and break through the congressional gridlock, he has suffered from the same type of gridlock that faced previous presidents, and he's struggled to get anything done with Democrats in Congress. And now he's saying that he's going to do a lot of what he wants to do on his own. So we saw the government shutdown earlier this year where the president was not able to get money for the wall from Congress and instead decided to shut down the government. And instead of opening the government and striking a deal, he opened the government and declared a national emergency and said he's going to take money from other agencies without Congress's approval. And now we're seeing the president once again act on his own on this trade war. He's not getting the support from the Congress. He's also not getting the support from our trading partners that he is looking for. So he decides to sort of go it alone and put tariffs on various countries. And that's led to a lot of raw feelings in Congress, even among Republicans who are not happy that the president is not consulting them, not listening to them when they tell him that this trade war is not a good idea for their constituents. But this is a president who is in the third year of his term, feeling very much emboldened and willing to go it alone and do things on his own that others are telling him that he shouldn't do or trying to block him from doing. But as the executive, he has a certain level of power to act on his own, and he's trying to push that as far as possible.
And this is something that's a temptation for any president, especially when Congress seems to have trouble getting much done with or without the president. President Obama was accused, especially by Republicans, of doing a lot by executive order, especially later in his term. Is this just a standard back and forth between the president and Congress, or do you see it getting worse?
It's definitely gotten much more intense. Not only is the president acting on his own on immigration and trade, but he's in a fight with Congress over their oversight responsibilities and over these various investigations, including the investigations related to the Mueller report that came out. The president and the White House have basically said that Congress gets nothing. They are not able to put forward subpoenas or get any information from the Trump administration about my colleagues counted more than 20 different investigations that Congress wants to do that the White House is blocking. So this is an amped up level of sort of obstruction from the White House to the Congress, telling the Congress that the White House is going to act on its own and not respond to some of the oversight inquiries from congressional leaders. But this is definitely further than we've seen in the past in terms of the White House declaring itself free from the restraints of Congress and of the legislative branch.
Now, one interesting twist on that story, a lot of those investigations and subpoenas are coming from the Democratic-controlled House of Representatives. But now this week, the Senate Intelligence Committee, this is a Republican-majority committee and a Republican-majority Senate. It's led by Republican Richard Burr. They subpoenaed Donald Trump Jr. to testify as part of their ongoing look at Russian campaign interference. It's got some blowback from other Republicans. What are we hearing?
Yeah, they have finally come to some sort of agreement where Donald Trump Jr. will come in to testify before the Senate Intelligence Committee. But before they reached that agreement, there was a lot of back and forth, even getting into the White House and getting through the president, who was fighting against Senator Richard Burr, basically publicly saying that he didn't believe that that was a wise use of the Republican leader's powers on that committee to call up the president's son to testify. And when he declined to testify, at first to issue a subpoena against Donald Trump Jr. This really led to a lot of infighting in the Republican Party. Even Senator Burr's fellow North Carolina Senator, Richard Shelby, basically said that he did not believe that this subpoena was proper and that the president's son should be called up again to testify. But it's clear that the Mueller report, even though it came out almost a month ago now, is not finished. It's not something that has been completely extinguished in the public consciousness. And Congress is really going back to review a lot of what Mueller found during his reporting. And this Senate Intelligence Committee, even though it's led by Republicans, is something that is been seen as a bipartisan approach, and they're looking to get to the bottom of what happened in 2016, including the fact that President Trump's son seemed willing to accept help from the Russians during that Trump Tower meeting, where he accepted a meeting with someone saying that they were from the Russian government looking to help President Trump's campaign. And Congress is interested in that meeting and knowing what President Trump's son was doing during 2016.
It's our weekly roundup of national politics. Tolu Olorunipa is with us from The Washington Post. Turning to another presidential election-related story now, Senator Elizabeth Warren, one of many Democratic candidates in their primary, said this week she was not going to accept an invitation from Fox News to appear on one of their town hall events, something some of her fellow candidates have done. What was her case for saying, no, I'm not going on Fox?
Yeah, so we just talked about some Republican infighting. This has actually led to some Democratic infighting. The idea that some Democrats are willing to go on Fox News, and Senator Warren is saying that she does not want to go on Fox News. She called that cable news channel a hate-for-profit racket, basically objecting to the fact that several personalities on Fox News have spread what she calls hate and racism, and for that reason she does not want to add to their bottom line, does not want to add to their ratings. Now, you've heard other Democrats say that it's important to speak to voters who don't necessarily agree with you, speak to parts of the country where your message might not be getting through, and Fox News is one of the top-rated cable news channels in the country, and there are millions of voters who watch Fox News regularly. So other Democrats are saying, yes, we're going to go to Fox News and we're going to do town halls. We're going to interview with them because there are voters there that maybe support President Trump, but maybe open to another idea or another candidate. So we've seen candidates like Bernie Sanders go and have town halls on Fox News, and other Democrats say they're open to going on Fox News. But Senator Warren says that she does not believe that Fox News is a legitimate news outlet and that they are have broken so many journalistic rules that she does not want to sort of add to the to their sense of journalistic responsibility by going on Fox News and appearing and giving them some legitimacy. So she is boycotting Fox News, but other Democrats are not.
To loop briefly in our last minute or so, how do you see candidates in this, 22-strong Democratic field trying to distinguish themselves? What leaps out to you at this point?
Well, you have a number of different lanes. You have the moderates. You have some like Senator Warren and Senator Bernie Sanders trying to be more progressive. Everyone's trying to stand out in some ways. Right now, it seems like Joe Biden is the candidate to beat. And now we're seeing more candidates sort of punch at Joe Biden a little bit, punch at his record. But it's a large field. And with so many different candidates, it's hard to stand out. But we are seeing them all try to make a message and try to take a stand that would cause them to distinguish themselves from the pack.
Tolu, we'll leave it there. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Tolu Olorunipa is a White House reporter for The Washington Post. He was with us for a look at this week's top news in national politics. Still want to hear from you on this week's question on the president's ongoing use of tariffs as he negotiates a trade deal with China. Do you support that strategy, even if it means higher prices or retaliatory tariffs on U.S. goods? And are you personally being affected by this trade dispute? Are you seeing costs higher in your business? Are you worried about the things you make or grow being exported? What kind of uncertainties do you have? How are you planning for this? And what do you think about the politics of it? Ultimately, is this something that would lead you to vote for a candidate or against a candidate based on their policies on trade? You can reach us in a couple few different ways. You can email ideas@WPR.org, and you can always tweet us at Central Time WPR. Let us know where you stand on the president's handling of this trade dispute with China and other countries, and how, if at all, it affects you and your life.